I like that we're liked.
Yeah.
Hello.
Who is this speaking?
This is Ugly Joe from Telecom World.
Okay, that's good. Sean, is Ugly Joe from Famicom World joining us for the podcast today?
Hmm? Oh, no, I'm just going through our old voicemail that we haven't aired on the show yet at all.
Oh. Oh, really? We got one recently?
Well, this one from Ugly Joe's from July. It's July this month, but it's from July 26, 2011.
Oh, what's it relating to?
Well, let's find out.
Okay.
Thought I would call in, respond to the podcast request for the very shameful games.
Oh, yeah. Which episode was this?
I'd say it was one about a year ago. So, I think this is Pile of Shame.
Yes, yes, yes. So for those who don't know what a pile of shame is, it's your stack, or you know, if it gets too large to be stacked, your pile of games that you intend to play but never open, or like
you've
maybe
bought,
put in once.
You're waiting for, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we discussed in that episode quite a few of our own, and we wanted listeners to call in and give us theirs. And, you know, because we're so great at following through.
So basically, this and probably a few other voicemails that we've collected over time are our voicemail inbox pile of shame.
Yes, yes. So it's only appropriate that we finally now get to it almost a year since this one was called in. I'm sure Ugly Joe, who you know, he hasn't commented lately. Maybe he feels bad that we haven't played his voicemail. And he shouldn't, because
so.
We haven't played anyone's voicemail. But, let's see what he has to say.
Okay.
My pile of games that I have yet to play. Not a huge stack. I have the Metroid Prime Trilogy collection for Wii that I played for maybe an hour, couple hours, couple nights, and then never really got back to.
Yeah, understandable.
I have the Xenosaga Trilogy.
The theme
of the trilogies. I've actually beat the first game and got to the end of the second one and then completely stopped playing the games. And
that's about as far as I've
started over, and I never really got back into them. And I have a huge stack of NES games that I've never... I tested them to make sure that they worked, and I added them to my list of games that I own, and I've never gone back and actually played them. Which,
I hear you there. Famicom games, yeah. Tons.
See, games that I am ashamed to play, or probably should be ashamed to play, but I'm really not.
Well, there's those two.
Space Channel 5, which I guess was mentioned on the show.
Why would you be ashamed of that?
No shame.
That's probably the strangest one that I have in my stack of games. You know, somebody might see Endless Ocean for Wii or something and think, you know, what is this? You have a deep-sea diving game.
Endless Ocean's great,
though. With DC Space Channel 5, they really have... You probably could even think of a question to ask about what it is. It's more of a strange look on their face and pointing to the box art.
I don't know. I think as long as you're not dressed up in ooh-la-la cosplay, it should be okay.
I do actually enjoy using the Virtual Boy, even though I have the one game. But, you know, I don't think it's all the hate that it gets, but I guess it is what it is. same with the 32X. I got the 32X from my uncle for Christmas one year, kind of completely out of the blue.
Sorry.
Yeah. All I had for it was Doom for the longest time, which really wasn't a very good port of Doom at all.
But, Jaguar version was probably superior.
I found a bunch of new games later, and Calibri, the strange hummingbird-based shooter, was actually very good, and I played that for a while.
Yeah, some people have mentioned that, yeah.
I think it was actually, you know, it looked nice. It hit up the graphics a little bit. It was a handful of decent-looking games. Probably odd and destined to fail from the outset, but it was that terrible. shameful games that games that I should have played, I guess.
Okay, Space Channel 5.
One of the SNES era RPGs in general, I really haven't played. The classic SNES RPGs, Final Fantasy, you know, 4 or 6, or Chrono Trigger, or Earthbound. Even the Mario franchise, you know, not very much after that.
You know, honestly,
I own a Wii, but I don't own Mario Galaxy. That's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
From Famicom World, you say.
Anyway, keep up the good work on the podcast.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yes.
I don't know. That's exactly what we were looking for, though. Like,
yeah.
Like, when you say you're a gamer, like, it's assumed that you've played the Final Fantasy series and the Mario series, but, like, he's talking about his shame of not really playing the, the SNES ones, but I only played, like, to disc one on most of them, but, like, the PlayStation Final Fantasies.
Right.
And, I didn't beat 7.
Ooh, I did. I just didn't beat one of the weapons yet. I think I mentioned this before.
But I mean,
I probably have.
Yeah. And the problem is because it. I mean, I think my life would have turned out differently if I wasn't such a total Nintendo fanboy at the time.
True.
I'm like, Final Fantasy not on my system. Huh. Nintendo 64 will beat them all. Nintendo Power told me.
I'll just wait for the
onslaught of RPGs on the system. Look at this in the distance. Quest 64.
Whatever.
I remember that I got, I don't know why, maybe because of a magazine I subscribed to or something, but like, I got Sony or Square Enix or someone sent me like the promo video for Final Fantasy VII. And for the longest time, I avoided watching it because I'm like, this is going to suck. It's not on Nintendo hardware.
Right.
And I watched it and I'm like, I've made a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
But I refused to admit it. I was like, pre-rendered? If that was on Nintendo 64, it would be all done in real time. And
no.
cried into my cereal.
No.
But so I tried to play Final Fantasy VII many years later. And I played Final Fantasy VII during like the PlayStation 2 era.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I played it on a PlayStation 2. And at the time, I'm like, I don't understand the hype. Because like I wasn't there when it was, you know, when it was the thing, and already
I was
being on gaming forums and things like that, I already knew all the spoilers.
So when a certain character,
I'm not going to spoil it, dies at the end of disc one, I went,
You know, they all pretty much die at some point in the game. Come to think of it.
But the thing is, like, so many RPGs that came after Final Fantasy VII copied Final Fantasy VII.
Right, for, like, right. Like,
so, like,
Ocarina of Time.
Like, even though seeing that this was, the first game to do that stuff, it felt like a copy.
Right, right.
Because I felt like I'd played it before in different ways.
Beatles, I like Oasis. No? Too soon?
Too soon. But anyway, so there we go.
Well, do you think it would help the people's piles of shame if they had things like achievements to play?
Nice segue.
Yeah.
But no, I actually think so. I was thinking about this the other day because when you had your, like, a lot of the iOS ports, like when they're bringing back like old 16-bit games or things that are supposed to look 8-bit or 16-bit, yeah. You know, they all have achievements, you know,
right,
for, like, Game Center or something like that. And, like, that's, like, I'll tell you what achievements was when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
If you beat a game or beat a boss or got a really high score, you'd go and the next day at recess, you'd tell your friends, you won't believe what I did in this game. And I was right. They wouldn't believe me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember you had to take, like, pictures of your high scores to send them into Nintendo Power and stuff. Like, you know, photograph, yep, you on your Polaroid or whatever. way too low resolution to actually like make out what you were taking a picture of. So,
like one of my friends said, he played Final Fantasy IV in such a way that Palom and Porom didn't get turned into statues. Oh, spoiler! I think if something's 20 years old, it doesn't really count.
Yeah,
as a spoiler.
Probably not. You know, Darth Vader is Luke's father, by the way.
What? but
he's evil, what? And he's so good, and
but then
Leia's his sister, and they kissed, which isn't weird at all.
No, that's, I mean, wait.
Okay, so I feel like I was just misleading a minute ago, because there's all kinds of games I haven't even really opened that do have achievements, and I have not gone back to play them. I have picked up games I've loved in the past and didn't get everything and have tried to finish. But there's one game that has achievements that I've totally finished, quote-unquote, according to the achievement score. And it's a Xbox Live Arcade game, and it's the second of the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness from Penny Arcade. The first one I didn't quite get close, though. But, part three I just saw has been released now. The part three that wasn't going to get made didn't get made. Then they did, like, a text version, you know, of the story, but no one cared about the story, so they made the game anyway, kind of thing. That's out now, apparently.
And there'll be one more part, so.
Oh, well, they're great. Fantastic. Yep. Yeah, so I want to pick that up now.
It was meant to be four games at the beginning, so basically I guess they went off the notes for what the third game would contain, but turned it into a turn-based RPG, basically.
Right, okay.
It looks really good. It's by the same dev team that did Cthulhu Saves the World.
Oh, so that's a perfect fit then.
Yeah, have you played that?
No.
Pile of shame. I have it, because it was on sale. And that's how I always acquire this stuff. But
right.
I played a little bit. Like it's really, really does its target well. You know, it looks like something that could have been like an 16-bit RPG. But sure. The only thing that makes it not that way is it's very self-aware.
Mm.
And I do like the concept that you're playing as Cthulhu, who is like the most evil creature in the entire universe.
Yes.
And who's just being good, because then he can get back to killing everybody. I don't know. I haven't played, as I said,
that's a pretty good concept. I agree.
But theoretically, like the way to save humanity would be that you don't win the game.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of why it's so hard for me to finish, quote-unquote, finish games according to the achievement list, and I think it's partly because some of them are kind of ridiculous, or there's, like, lots of DLC that comes out, and it, like, raises the bar on you, so it's like you might have gotten the 1,000 points, but then it's, like, 250 more, or, like, 500 more or something.
Yeah, some of them are ridiculous, too, like the ones that are, like, time-based or...
Or like multiplayer based, where there was like no multiplayer to speak of. I'm looking at you, Brutal Legends, or Perfect Dark Zero.
I remember I was playing this one game on iOS. Gosh, I don't even remember the title of it. But one of the achievements was to score like, I don't know, a billion points. And like, but the thing is, at the time on the like world leaderboard.
Mm-hmm.
For the game, like it had been out for a number of months and it had like 100,000 players or something, but of those players, like five had their score that high. So I'm like, okay, 0.0001% ever completed all the achievements.
Yeah. So is a game not finished unless you get all the achievements? Because there's
I don't think so. Okay. I think achievement is like a trophy. Like if you're I'm getting ahead of myself
because
on PlayStation they are, but I think trophy is actually a very nice word for it, because like it means you've done very well at something.
Right.
It shouldn't be considered, you know, like I think a lot of people have beat Mario without... If I say if Mario had achievements, one of them would be like to go to Minus World.
Well, that's a glitch, though. <It's>
not... Yeah, but if they redid it now...
Oh, sure, sure.
They'd exploit that glitch, because achievements do things like that, you know. Not, sure. I mean, not exploit glitches, but I mean, achievements do things that, like, are beyond the beaten path of the game.
Well, they can. I mean, you know, there are lots of games that give you, like, a base amount of achievement points just for getting through the main story. Like, you complete, like, a major quest or something in an RPG, and they might just give you, like, 25 points for having done it. You know, some little throwaway thing, but yeah, there's ones that are like progress bars that you can work towards that some games do, yeah. Which is nice.
I like the ones that fill up. Yeah, but
the Halo games in particular, I'm thinking of here, or yeah. Like Batman, I think does them too. Mass Effect, of course, I have to mention Mass Effect every episode. I try not to, honestly, but then too many ideas come up, and it's like by the third or fourth time, I don't mention Mass Effect. I'm like, screw it, I'm just gonna mention Mass Effect.
Well, then it's time for me to give an exasperated sigh.
All right.
All right. Anyway. Back to the Future. Okay. So.
Nice. Oh, thank you.
But that's the thing, though. Some of the... When achievements first came out, like, I was against them at first. Because I didn't really understand. I didn't understand what the point was. You know what I mean? Other than right. Allowing like people with copious amounts of free time to show everyone that they have a lot of free time. You know, because so many achievements aren't based on any skill whatsoever. Like, I mean, I've got an achievement. Like, I'll be downloading a game and I'll be playing it and like all these achievements start popping up like within the first 10 minutes. And I'm like,
right.
I don't even know how to play the game yet. You can't be giving me achievements. I haven't achieved anything. Unless the goal is like, congratulations, you're not a complete doofus, you know?
Well, it's like that first hit of crack, you know? You get it for free, and then you want more of it. and you know, it depending on the game, of course, you could actually try to hunt for them, so you read the descriptions, but there's like some secret ones, so you don't really know unless you go on like message boards and stuff. Getting a complete list that way. But honestly, I like getting them. There is something satisfactory about hearing that sound. I'm talking about the Xbox, of course, and okay.
Which I don't have. Okay.
Yeah, but you can only get it once since you open up a new account. So there's that too. But if you're like me and you don't want like all your friends popping up over your gameplay, you might turn off all notifications because you can't just turn off your friends popping up. And then you miss out, and it's like, oh, man, I got, like, 100 points in this last session. I didn't even notice because I turned off all my notifications, and I feel gypped because I'll never get to see those achievements pop up. There was a time, actually, like, I didn't have 10,000 points yet, like, and, like, all my friends are pushing 20,000, and I was like, all right, here I go. So I, like, went through my library of stuff and tried to get more. So, like, Perfect Dark Zero was on that list. I had 5 points, but I can't get any more because I honestly just couldn't get past the second level of the game. And all the rest were multiplayer ones. So I'm like, all right, forget that. So I've tried to go to Quake 4. Similar story. Didn't really have a lot of interest. But then, like, you know, a bunch of other games. I had some new ones. I had on a pile of shame. Okay, so I guess it was effective in getting me to play a little bit. But once I hit that 10,000 mark, I didn't care anymore. I'm like... 18,000 now, so whatever.
Have you ever played a game that you weren't having any fun with just because you were close to an achievement?
Close to one? I did mention Perfect Dark Zero, but I wasn't close. So,
no, yeah, but you, like the ones
Dead or Alive 4, maybe I tried.
Where you're having a little bar that like fills up and like I just gotta kill 100 more guys. I'm really not enjoying this all that much, but you know what? Instead of going and trying to complete the story, I'm going to go to a room where these guys just kind of jump out, and I can just pick them off one after the other.
Yeah, I haven't done that. Like, I wouldn't say I didn't enjoy it, but I was like, you know, pushing myself past the limits of, you know, wanting to be awake or something like that, or I should be doing something else, and I'm just like trying to achievement hunt. Yeah, I have done that, but I don't do it anymore.
Are you a leaderboard tool as well? You need to be high on the leaderboard of a game?
Hell no. No, I don't care about leaderboards at all.
I am currently...
Oh boy, here we go.
Number one in the world
mm-hmm.
for Alien vs. Cupcake.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Bouncing Girl, but you've beaten your low score to that, right? So it's
yeah. But like Bouncing Girl is very strange. They don't have a leaderboard for top score. They have only a leaderboard for worst jump.
Yeah.
And apparently, one time when I was playing it, I managed to achieve a jump of zero height.
Well, that's impressive.
I don't know how. It must have glitched out or something, or the angle I was holding it, because, I mean, there's a couple hundred players on that game's leaderboard, and I have the lowest possible score. And since it registered like a zero, unless it can turn out to be a negative thing, the only thing people can do is tie with my score.
Right. And so then the question is it sorted by date then appropriately, or, yeah, interesting.
I wonder if I should be mentioning these things, though, because some of our listeners are going to try to take that away from me.
Yeah, I hope they do. I mean, no.
Yeah.
So what's this game, Alien vs. Cupcake?
Oh, gosh. It's like a really badly put together puzzle game. It looks like it was made in not even Flash, like Shockwave or something. You know, like,
yikes.
It's really, it's pretty horrible. It was like up as a free game. Now, of course, I'm the top in the world, but I think there are a grand total of 7 people who have played it. So, and that's about 7 too many. Hold on, let me see. I hope no one's beat my score. I'm checking my Game Center profile right now. This is exciting.
Well,
all right, let's tell people about our Game Centers. Why not?
Sure,
let's see if any Famicom Dojo people can humiliate us.
Yeah, please do, I guess. See, that's this is the thing. I don't care about the size of my E-Wing on Game Center, but for some reason, everywhere, or just Xbox, it mattered to me. It still kind of does matter to me. A little bit. You know, not enough where I'm going to be like, oh, I got to get to 30,000 now or something like that, because... But it's a little disheartening to be like, you know, I played and loved this game, but I'm like maybe a third of the way through the possible points. And it's like, you know, it's not to say I didn't play it and love it and finish it. Like, okay, bring up Mass Effect again. It's impossible to get all the achievements in the first one unless you play through it at least 4 times and do it right.
Yeah.
Because it counts the number of missions. This is allied achievements that you have to do so many missions with them, including all the side missions. And, like, you can't get the one for Liara unless, like, the moment you can leave the Citadel, you do get her, come back, don't do any other missions until then, and then do all the Citadel missions and blah, 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 blah. I screwed that up, and I don't want to have to play it through as a whole game with her in my party again because she's so terrible.
Yeah, some of those ones are just crazy. Like, play through a game scoring no points or something, you know, and I'm like, I'm just doing this for the achievement. I'm not having fun.
I have 2 pending requests still. I haven't checked since March 13th and 16th. I guess we had an episode around there that we released our friend codes or something. So one of them is your brother, by the way. I'll accept that.
Please do.
I'm trying to accept it, but it's just sitting there. There it goes.
That's all right. So anyway, I'm not on Xbox Live, but for Game Center, just search for Vink, VINNK.
That's super easy, and I believe I'm Sean Orange. I must be. I don't even know. Yeah, there it is. I am. My profile picture is I'm wearing sunglasses, a Tom Popo long sleeve T-shirt, and a power glove.
Wow.
I forgot about that picture. Wow, that's a couple years old at least. Yeah, whenever we did the first part of the 3D special, so that was early 2011, actually. Okay. Yep.
Old.
But anyway, I have 13 games, 1,120 points, and 10 friends, apparently. So let's get that up there. I don't even know what points I have games in. I think they added achievements to the original Robot Unicorn Attack.
Yes.
So I played that for the first time in a while and was surprised to see I got new achievements for doing stuff I'd done before. I was like, oh, that's right. The original game wasn't on Game Center yet. So I'm sure.
So how many games do you have in your Game Center?
Oh, wow. 19. And I'm looking through. Okay. So,
okay.
I got this blackjack game. I have 1,120 achievements already, apparently. 2 for Plants vs. Zombies out of 44. 8 out of 58 for Angry Birds Seasons. And most of these are like zeros. Super Mega Worm, which I think is a... Do I even have the full version? Sonic and Sega All-Stars, zero. Bouncing Girl. It doesn't even say 0 out of blank. It just says no achievements. Oh, it doesn't have achievements. Yep.
It doesn't.
Okay. Time Geeks. What is that, zero?
It's kind of like a Where's Waldo with tons of geek references.
But why
it's
do
really
I have
fun.
It? Okay, Peggle, nothing.
Because I told you to buy it. It's free.
Oh,
like
okay.
I sent you a link.
Game Dev Story, 0 out of 32.
Okay, that's tragic. Because I think that is maybe the only game that I've gotten all the achievements on.
Oh, really? Wow. I don't even
of
know what they are.
All the games I have, yeah.
Angry Birds 30 out of 60. Doodle Jump. Yeah, so... What, does Sword and Sorcery have any? I don't think it does. I really like that game. You know what? That would have ruined the game for me because it was supposed to be so atmospheric and stuff, and it really was.
Yeah.
And I finally finished it. It depends on the phases of the moon at some point, so you had to do it like during the full moon and during the new moon, and I was like, ah, screw that. And like maybe 5 months later, I came back to it and finally finished it, so yeah.
So anyway... Okay, mine I can't go through
because there's so many.
Okay. Okay, you're at what, 1,120 points?
Yep.
For 13 games.
Yep.
I'm at 11,398 points for, get ready, 216 games.
Dear God. So am I doing better per game than you?
I'm sure you are, because that's the thing. That's the thing. Like I don't have time to play games. Now my Game Center profile is going to sound like that is a lie, but as I said, some achievements just come just from basically starting the thing up.
Okay.
So, like, I usually don't play any game unless I really, really like the game and actually have time for more than, like, 10 minutes. But in that first 10 minutes, you get, like, half of the achievements, you know?
Right,
you watch
right.
the tutorial. You shot one guy, you know? It's like,
yeah.
You know, so many of... And the thing is, like, that's the problem. I don't really feel that proud of those achievements. I'm like, oh, boy, points. But...
Well, you're not supposed to, right? You're like supposed to be like, oh, I shot a guy. What happens if I shoot 5 guys? Oh, achievement. What happens if I shoot 100 guys? Oh, that one's worth 50 points instead of just 10 or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. But the thing is, so, like, very few of these games I've played for more than 10, 15, 20 minutes. But... Like, the games you get, it seems, the ones you play until you beat it or get to a useful place. But
yeah.
Of the 13 games you have, other than Game Dev Story, I think 19. You're ahead of me on every single one. But
yeah. Well, like, I don't play the Game Center ones for achievements, though. I'm not even sure how to check them. Like, you know, the Xbox ones, I can obsessively go to the menu and find out what they are. If I don't want to be spoiled on game story stuff, which for, like, you know, RPG-type games, I don't want to be.
Most menus of the games allow you to check the achievements. Plus, you can just go to the Game Center app where you can see everything, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just not interested, I guess.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I avoided achievements for so long because I'm like, I don't care, you know, it's this extra kind of annoying thing. And then, well, it's Caleb's fault.
Oh, okay.
You may know Caleb as the guy who was the often misunderstood and sad Virtual Boy fan from our 3DS special videos.
Yep. Also, a.k.a. Phil Bond, a.k.a. the Tataka song guy, a.k.a., you know, that dude.
he's a friend of the dojo.
Yes.
But he put... His avatar is Siegfried playing baseball. And I didn't really care. I'm like, wow, Caleb's got like... I had like a third of the points Caleb had at that time. When he came on my Game Center, I'm like, huh, that's interesting. But then he changed his sig to Baseball Siegfried has more points than you.
Ooh!
And I thought it was talking directly at me.
Oh no!
And I thought, well, if I get more points than him, will he change it? And he doesn't. But that's
of course not.
It still says that. But Baseball Siegfried does not have more points than me.
Not anymore, huh?
I am about 2,000 some points ahead now.
Wow. All right. I guess, well, hopefully he's listening
but
to the show.
But the thing is, now that he hears this, he might try, because I don't think he's been, actively knowing that we were having a competition.
Right.
So. And if you're listening to this, Caleb, we're not. Don't worry about it. Don't play these games.
That way he stays ahead.
please just give me this. It's my only gaming achievement, is that I'm at the top of the users that I've added. So if you're listening to this podcast and you add me, Vink, and your points are really high, I wonder if I'll add you.
So does it pay to be this concerned about the size of our E-Wangs?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah. It really doesn't. And that's the thing. Like, maybe that will help humble me to it, because... But what's strange is I never really got involved. I think it's because I don't have an Xbox 360. Xbox 360 is the achievement console.
Right.
And PlayStation's got the trophies. I think I've got a couple trophies, but I don't know. The games that I love, the games that I played the most on it when I was playing were made, like Valkyria Chronicles and stuff, were made pre-trophy system and never really updated for it.
Mm.
So, I think the only game that I've bought... Oh, man, this is going to be embarrassing. I almost never buy PlayStation 3 games. But I think the only games that I have that have achievements at all are Fallout 3, Brutal Legend, Little Big Planet. Does Little Big Planet have achievements? I don't remember. That other one. Infamous. But for the most part, almost every game I have was from earlier near the launch of the system.
Sure.
And, PlayStation fans are going to be mad at me, but, like, pretty much the only things I play as games on it now are, like downloadable PSN titles. I have not bought a full-sized PlayStation 3 game since Brutal Legend.
Wow. It's been a while.
I know.
Well, we're not very hostile to the idea. I mean, you explained why you didn't like it, but I think philosophically I was against it initially too. But yeah. I don't know, just something about that response reward, that positive reinforcement feedback loop, it got me after a while. And I don't want to say that other games lacking it makes it less fun to play, because especially for other systems that don't have that kind of system, like Nintendo systems, like they have built stuff built into the games. It's just not like a system wide achievement thing that you can share with friends online, etc. So there was always like completion percentages, like Donkey Kong Country. You know, you can play the whole game, but you don't have 100% completion. So I was a completionist in that way and wanted to, like, experience as much of the game as possible. But, you know, if I didn't... Cause I do crazy things like do, like, bomb jumps in Metroid or whatever and, like, get the places I couldn't get to. But, you know, you're not gonna see me crying over, you know, not having, like, done...
Yeah,
an achievement for bomb jumps or something, because it's like, whatever. What's the point? You know, that takes all the exploration out of it.
One of the first games that I played that I felt like had achievements was probably Mario 64. I mean, it didn't have achievements. There was no online network for it, but the fact that there were all these stars you could get, and that some of them you didn't need to beat the game, but that you know, just kept going back to get, you know, ones that you didn't, you know. There are all kinds of hidden ones.
Because like you didn't need more than what was available immediately to beat the game, but like once I knew that you could get more than the ones they immediately presented to you, and could do more by going back, I would get as many as I could to open up doors before even doing other levels later on.
Well, exactly. And didn't you need like all of them in order to get, what was it, like Yoshi on the roof or something?
Yeah.
Or,
so there was like in-game stuff that was natural to the gameplay, that wasn't some, you know, abstract gamer point thing.
So is, you know. Yeah. So achievements is basically a way of just telling people I did that.
Yeah, and the thing that you did isn't even that interesting necessarily. There's like no requirement, as we've been complaining.
I think one of the things that really turned me off to achievements is I was reading on a popular gaming forum one day, and they were talking, and someone was talking about how that the Xbox title you should buy was this one Naruto game or something, and they was like, the game sucks, but you can get all the achievements in an hour.
Whatever.
And he's like, just buy the game, get the achievements, and then it's new enough where you can return and get most of your resale cost, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought that, wow, that's not the type of gaming that I do, you know.
Right.
Like that you'd be willing to spend money and spend time on a game that's not good just so that you can increase an arbitrary score. You know, but I mean, to each their own. Though Microsoft was brilliant with this whole thing, really. Yeah. I mean, it's a way to get people to buy more games. You know.
Yeah, I suppose so, and it probably also feeds into that used game culture where you know, people will, like, buy something, get the achievement, sell it, and then try and find the next thing to get achievements for. That's never been a motivation for me.
No.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe our listeners feel differently. Like, what do achievements fuel your gaming needs? Do you not care? Do you think they're a travesty unto the hobby, the pastime, I don't want to call it a profession, unless you're making games.
Are achievements too easy? Are they too hard? I think we can easily find examples of both of those.
Sure. I guess we can encourage people to call in again. So number is 608-492-1923. We do have more voicemails to play, which we'll do in future episodes. That seems reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, Please do call in, though. We promise it'll take less than a year before we get to that one again.
Yeah, it's true. So, yeah, thanks, Uncle Joe, for calling in. We hope now that we've played your thing on the air, you'll come back and comment on our threads again. We miss you.
And lots of great video coming up real soon.
Yes, yes.
Be ready. Be ready for the onslaught.
That reminds me.
Yes.
So this month, something new and exciting is happening.
Ooh, new and exciting.
Yeah, two, yeah. Well, I mean, it might be new for people that aren't us, but for us, it's old.
Okay.
We are starting to air our episodes on the local Madison, Wisconsin public access station, WYOU.
That's, we're on exciting. TV now?
We're on an actual television, on broadcast. Like, we're on Charter. Charter cable.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know how. Well, all right. Well, we're there.
We're on Charter right now. Internet.
Right now. Well, okay, fine. But, like, you can like, search your DVR now and find Famicom Dojo and, like, record it.
Wait. Now that's cool.
That is pretty cool. I'm going to do that right now, as a matter of fact.
Okay, give me the butt.
But there's no but.
There's no but. All of our listeners can listen, can watch this.
Okay, that's true. That's true. That only people who live in this area can watch it. But, you know, anyone can watch our stuff online at our website, famicondojo.tv, or this, you know, just go to our YouTube channel directly. That's Orange, and watch all of our good stuff there. But I recommend going to the website, you know, to help find everything, because it keeps it like wrapped up into seasons and like Tokyo Game Show, MAGFest, and oh yeah, because there are things that I do that aren't for our channel, like Powit TV stuff. So that very, very important to go to the website, I think. And if you want to see it in your public access station, I don't know if we can do that, but if you're interested enough, we do have DVDs that we're giving out to our station, so maybe we could set something up if someone wants to sponsor us in one of the local stations. That could be kind of cool.
What we did is, yeah, Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What we did was we took old episodes and wrapped them together into, what, 28-minute episodes?
Yeah, just no time for them to do like their advertising in between.
Yep, so we're rewrapping old episodes as kind of a Famicom Dojo the TV.
Nice. So, yeah, so, we should... well, this should be an announcement on the website by the time this episode goes up. Explaining that. We'll see how it goes. We got... enough material to last us for the rest of the year under the current scheme, and then we're going to try and expand into other public television markets in my area. Not Vink so much because he lives in Japan and they probably wouldn't appreciate English language. Do you even have public television?
I don't think we have public access. Maybe in the bigger cities, but my city, we don't even have a local channel in my city.
Oh wow!
And my city's not tiny. 80,000 right. people, but we share a channel with like the larger city.
Sure, sure.
Like yeah, I mean, my hometown in America was much smaller, and we had four stations. You know, a CBS, mm-hmm. an ABC, an NBC, and a Fox affiliate in town with local stuff. But
yeah,
Japan just. They just don't do as much of the local stuff. Well, I suppose it's because Japan's so small. Everything's kind of local.
Yeah, you're never like more than 100 miles from the ocean, right? So
yeah.
Not too shabby.
I guess not, yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, so if you don't want to call in, you can always just visit our website and leave a note at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for this episode /53. There's also Famicom Dojo on Twitter and Facebook, and of course our free iTunes storefront, where if you don't download this show, you should do. Or, of course, we're on Stitcher Radio as well, and you can listen to us there every week for free. Well, free enough.
And, of course, you can listen to us through the Zune Marketplace.
Can you? I don't know. Are we signed
not
up?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet, but not yet. Maybe by the time...
We might have signed up once long ago.
I think we did, but
the Powetcast got signed up for that. I'm not really sure.
But I mean, before it didn't matter because I mean, who had a Zune? But now
right.
Zune is like it goes to like Xbox and stuff
yep.
too, right?
Yep, yep, yeah. Zune's a platform, you know, that's like hardware agnostic now. So
my goal is to be on as many different ways of getting our podcast as we have actual podcast yeah. listeners.
And clearly we're branching out
we're getting closer.
It's pretty fun. And we're branching out our video avenues as well, from internet to terrestrial television. Now, extraterrestrial television, that would be super cool. I don't know if they actually broadcast. Oh, I guess we're going to be broadcast over radio waves now. So yep. some alien species somewhere.
Hooray. And we lyrics by us are featured on a CD right now.
That's right. So the RPG theme song that you hear a little bit of at the beginning and end of every podcast was written by the Amari Tones. I think we explained like way back in episode 17 when we first added it to the show.
Yeah.
That we had actually been asked to help write some of the English versions of the lyrics, and Tak, being as awesome as he is, just offered to give us lyrics credits for that. So, yay. We mostly wrote the bridge, apparently.
Yeah.
Like we gave him extensive notes, but you know, he is what he wanted, and it's pretty amazing. So that's also on iTunes now, not for free, but if you just want RPG, it's only $1. I think the whole album is like 10, so that's
something
more than reasonable. It's like 12, 13
and,
tracks.
Yeah, we can put up a link there. Of course.
It's called Japan Metal Jesus, I believe. It's pretty
which
awesome.
Is a wonderful name. I mean, it's supposed to be a name for a Christian rock CD, but
yeah.
it sounds
Christian
more
metal
like
CD.
a character you'd see on Family Guy or something.
Uh-huh. Definitely.
But anyway.
Right, so check that out, and kind of down to the onslaught.
Yeah.
We'll let you guys know when that's coming.
So yeah, lots and lots of stuff in the pipeline. Yep. So what else? Okay, so we've conquered all forms of media. Okay. If you're having a birthday party and you need some entertainment, please consider Famicom Dojo to come and tell your little ones stories about games of yesteryear.
Oh man, I want a He-Man.
Ha 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 ha!
You get in Famicom Dojo.
I think He-Man was even old when Ghostbusters 2 came out.
It was, wasn't it?
89, yeah. Anyway. Well,
like, the writers were like, what's popular these days? Those Pokemans that everyone loves so much. Okay.
All right. Until next week, the dojo is closed. Ah, dang, I did it again. Sorry. Bad habit.
Pick up your shoes on the way out. Keep your stick on the ice.
Famicom Dojo.